The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, most of us try and do a little bit of physical exercise from time to time, a brisk walk, a gentle jog maybe. The more advanced get into running 10K races or half marathons. And that's all absolutely great, but it definitely wasn't enough for my next guest. Ian Keith, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, Ian is the winner of a self-transcendence six-day race, which took place in New York in May. And yes, you heard me correctly, that was a six-day race. Ian, why did you get involved in an event like this?
I suppose I've been building through it over the years. I didn't get into sport until quite late in life. I did my first run was a marathon, which I did when I was 30 back in 1998. And I ran that quite well, surprisingly well to myself. I did under 3 hours, which was kind of my long-term target. I did my first marathon and I thought, okay, now what?
You did your first marathon in under 3 hours?
Yeah.
So. Having just taken up running a 30?
Yeah, I'd been a hill walker before that. So, you know, I had some degree
of fitness.
There's
a huge difference. And the only reason I know is I'm training myself for the Dublin Marathon at the minute. And wow, I'm looking for 4:15.
But
under 3 hours, that's pretty special stuff.
That's decent start.
Did you know that you had it in you, or did you, when you were training in the lead up to that?
It was only about 2 weeks ago when I did the last of the long runs with my pals, who had always looked up to as being these super fit guys, and I was able to outrun them on the last long run we did in the Phoenix Park. And I knew then, okay, time to retarget, time to be ambitious and target, really go for it and go for under 3 hours.
And had you been that sort of ambitious in other areas of your life? I mean, you say you only took up running when you were 30. Were you sporty? Were you active?
No, far from it. When I was a kid, the only sport I did was pitch and putt, which wouldn't exactly be a mad fitness thing at all, but it was still good fun. But what I was competitive. So the hill walking got me out into the outdoors, and I really loved that, and being out in the mountains in the open air, and that was great. So, but I always had that press competitive side, so the running certainly sort of melded the two together, being outdoors and being competitive, and that's what got me going, I suppose.
So where was the first marathon where you achieved
that Dublin.
Time? It was Dublin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And from there the same people who I was training with were into hill running, so I went hill running with them, and I was quite good at that and started getting better as I got more practice in. And the hill runners in Ireland, IMRA, have a 50K race which goes from Johnny Fox's down into Wicklow and back, and I ran that about 2 years later, and I did really well. I was very competitive in that, and from there progressed another year later, and I was after doing well in that, I ran for Ireland for the first time. I ran a 100K race in Scotland where I ran well, and I ran very consistently, a very even pace. So I knew I had potential there. And basically what I was discovering, what I'd always suspected about myself, is I'm really, really bad at sprinting. In school, I would have been last in every race in school. But I suspected I had endurance. And what I was learning was that the longer I went, the more competitive I was and the better it got.
And what sort of, in Ireland, is the sort of that endurance running, is it a big scene, or was it a big scene when you were coming up through the ranks back then?
It wasn't that big. That first 50K race I did maybe had about 20 people. The same race last year, we had to be capped at 100. So it's grown considerably in the last few years, and there's more and more races getting added to the scene. It's still small, but it's rapidly growing at the moment.
Okay, so tell me about this big race, a six-day race in New York.
Yeah. So I had the longest I'd run previously was a 3-day race, which I'd done in Arizona about a year and a half earlier. But 6 days is kind of a recognized international standard where they keep world records for it and so on. So it had been a target of mine for a while to really step up the distance and go for 6 days, because obviously it's quite intimidating in a lot of ways. But it was an ambition of mine, still working on the fact that the further I go, the better I generally go. So it was kind of pick a race, and I picked New York because it's New York. What a great place to go to. To run in, and it just fell at the right time in terms of timing and so on. So and it's also a very international race. You know, there was competitors there from the Ukraine, from Russia, from America, from Canada, you know, UK. So it's a good mix, a good way to test, and it has a long tradition of very good runs. The female world record holder for 6 days has won that race for about 7 years or 8 years running now.
So when you were saying 6 days, when do you sleep, when do you eat, when do you stop? Or do you? When do you go to the toilet?
Well, obviously, in an ideal world, you just run nonstop, but the real world intervenes, so you have to make time. So sleep is probably the most difficult thing to balance off, in that, you know, if you're sleeping, you're not moving, and the objective is to run as far as you can over the 6 days. So
you're competing really against yourself.
In a lot of ways, although in my case, the thing that probably keeps me going more than anything else, that keeps me motivated in the huge amount of hard time, is actually to compete against people. So what I ended up doing was racing it as opposed to just running a distance. So I'd be watching who's behind me, you know, how are they closing on me and so on. Because I started off, took me about the first half day to establish a bit of a lead, and then I spent the rest of the race trying to either defend it or build it, or, you know, not lose any time to the people trying to catch me down. And that's what kept me mentally engaged more than anything else.
So when did you sleep, or what way did you sort of set up your race?
Well, I had to kind of play it by ear. My idea was to run the first 24 hours without any sleep and then sleep as I needed. So what I discovered was when the sun would go down, I'd get really, really tired really fast, and I'd have to go to grab a sleep as quickly as possible. And that usually would take 2 or 3 hours I'd get for a sleep. But the hard bit was actually waking up, because you go into such a deep, deep, deep sleep that you're quite shocked when you wake up and you don't know where you are, what you're doing, why you're here. You just want to go back to sleep, back to that nice warm place, and you have to drag yourself. And it's taken me half an hour to go from the alarm going off to being up back running again. And most of that was just getting mentally re-engaged.
And when you say mentally re-engaged, I can imagine if you're just on a conveyor belt, right?
Yeah.
So does the brain start doing funny things as well?
It can do, yeah. In this race, it wasn't so bad. Most of it, it was very, very mentally hard on me, because it's so repetitive, just running around in circles, because it was a 1 mile track, which you're just repeating over and over. So it's very hard to motivate yourself to keep going. Physically, you'd understand that it's quite hard, but that's actually the easy part compared to the mental part, which is what I found extremely hard in that just mentally, that drive to stay on the track. And there were so many times I just wanted to walk off and just say, this is silly, I'm going home. But, you know, you have to find the reasons to keep going, which could be to hold your lead, or, you know, I was very lucky that my wife Helen was there, so when she was on the track it was great, because I would run around to her and, you know, have her face to greet me is great.
And so, what about when she had to go for a kip?
That became the hardest bit, because everything
really
was combining up. She, you know, she'd go away late at night to her nice hotel bed, and so that motivation is gone. It's the middle of the night, which is the hardest time to run. Your body is at its low and so on, so everything was down, and they were the hardest hours, the lonely hours, I suppose you'd call them.
So what did you eat in order to preserve your energy and to get you through such an event like this?
I'm how would you put it, oddball when it comes to that, although it's using the latest nutrition theories. I eat very little. I think for the first 5 days, I ate almost nothing.
And are you bulking up beforehand?
No. What I'm doing is I'm training to burn fat. And your body basically has a pretty much infinite supply of fat energy. So I ate so little in the first 5 days, but I didn't feel hungry at all, because I was just very efficiently burning fat. And so I had to drink a lot, but I ate very little whatsoever. So that comes from all the training. It takes about 6 months to get your body to adapt to learning to how to burn fat instead of sugar. But once you do that, you can basically go forever.
Right. And when you finish after 6 days, what happens to the body, having put it under such physical stress?
It's actually it's a remarkable thing, and I heard it hear it recently in relation to Rob Heflin. Once your mind stops engaging, your body just goes whack, you're gone. It just completely collapses. So once I'd mentally switched off from racing, it just basically shuts down, and you just have to crawl off, if you're able to crawl, and take a break. So
it was difficult. It was difficult actually watching Rob Heflin the other day, wasn't it?
It was. But I fully understand. Once the brain is gone, that's it. There's no point in physically trying to go on, because without that mental drive, you're going nowhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what you'll understand when you get to the end of these very long things. I've often, I've done 24-hour races before, and when you hit that 24 hours, you just collapse. And from being running at whatever, 5 or 6 kilometres an hour, you go to the inability to walk in, it could be 30 seconds.
30 seconds, yeah. Why? Actually, just why do you do it? Why do you do it?
I like challenging myself. I enjoy the competitive aspect. And as I say, the longer I go, the more competitive I find myself. So in 6-day racing, I think I'd easily be in the top 5 in the world at this stage. So that's one of the
main great achievement.
Drivers.
What's next? Don't say you're going to go more than 6 days.
It could be. I've a race in Italy in 3 weeks' time, which in contrast, this is a mountain race where we're doing a huge loop in the Alps that's 300 kilometers long with 24,000 meters of climbing. So it's a massive race. And that's going to take me a minimum 3 days, could be 5 or so, but totally different style of race. And I'm really looking forward to that.
All right. Well, Ian Keith, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us.